Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives or become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to let you know today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And among those I want to thank Ronald, and I want to thank James so much for your support. We'll send access to the premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. Well, now it's time for us to continue on with today's Johnny Dollar serial. Let's listen to The Alder Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Constance Alder, Mr. Dollar. Are you all right?
Sure, Mrs. Alder. What made you think I might not be?
Well, just your having left the living room, being in your own room like this,
Oh, nothing wrong, Mrs. Alder. I'm fine.
I'm sorry El Montante took so long with his cape handling demonstration. I hope you weren't bored.
Not in the least. He's very good.
But you did leave.
That isn't necessarily a sign of boredom, is it, Mrs. Alder? You left before I did.
Yes, of course. The hostess has to keep busy, you know.
Sure. And like I said, I wasn't bored. I only left because I wanted a little air. I went out on the patio for it. Wonderful spot, Mrs. Alder. You can see everything. The harbor, the slope down from the house, even anyone who might be on it.
I want to see you, Mr. Dollar. Talk to you.
That figures. Where?
Your car. Half an hour.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Caracas, Venezuela, to the Home Office Worldwide Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Alder Matter. Expense account continued. Sometimes it takes only a few well-chosen words to start the mountain coming to Muhammad. And it looked like I'd picked the right ones with Constance Alder. Whatever she had to say, I wanted to hear it. Because it was a cinch nobody else in this rat race was giving away any information. Yeah, I wanted very much to hear what Mrs. Alder had to say. I headed downstairs right away because I have a fetish about being early. But my timing was bad.
Hey, Dollar, you got a minute?
Well, I can hardly say no to my host, Mr. Alder.
Come on in the den.
Anything the matter?
There's cuts on your face. What happened?
Your daughter's boyfriend.
Paul Kincaid?
Yeah, he's got the idea you hired me to bust up their little romance. He didn't like it.
That idiot.
Is that all you've got to say, Mr. Alder?
What?
Because if it is, let me tell you how I feel about it, where I stand.
Look, Dollar...
No, you look. I know you're the insured, but I just about had it with you.
I don't have to take that kind of talk.
I think you do. You asked me to keep you alive, but you won't lift a finger to help. Every time I ask you a question, you look the other way, do an imitation of a clam. What am I supposed to be, a mind reader?
All I want you to do is protect me.
Oh, come on, Alder. You're smarter than that. Protect you from what? You've almost been tagged out once. You must have an idea who made that try and why.
I have no idea.
Just like that, huh?
Mr. Dollar...
Look, Mr. Alder, don't you see that by not opening up, you're making a clay pigeon out of yourself?
I can tell you nothing.
You know that I'd be justified in suggesting my company cancel the policy.
Well, you'll have to suit yourself about that. Excuse me.
Just a minute. What did you tell your family and guests about me? Who am I supposed to be?
An old friend from up in the States.
Uh-huh. You realize something, old friend? That's the first question I ever asked that you had an answer for.
It's the first one I considered you had a right to ask.
Mr. Alder.
Yes?
Whose side are you on? Yours or the person who's trying to kill you? Oil-rich Billy Alder, business mind par excellence, super salesman deluxe, the man who could sell or talk you into anything. But could he say one word that might keep another bullet from coming his way? It sure didn't look like it. I left the den, was just starting out to my car to meet Mrs. Alder. I must have been real anxious for our chat because I suddenly realized I'd forgotten my car keys. I hurried back upstairs and at the top almost bowled over a woman who was about to come down.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. My fault.
That's all right.
No. I should have looked where I was going. Here, are you hurt, Miss...
It's perfectly all right. Excuse me, please.
Sure was a hard house to make acquaintances in, even when they were old and drab and stern-looking. Well, I went to my room, got my car keys and my wallet, which lay alongside them. The position of the wallet was interesting. I shut the door, headed once more for my car. The lady of the house was waiting. We took off.
I know who you are, Mr. Dollar, while you're here.
I'm sure you do. I was just back in my room.
What?
I'll give you a tip. Never search a pro's room. He always puts an article down in a certain position, then memorizes it automatically. A searcher can never replace it exactly the same way. With me, it's wallets.
I did not go into your room.
Oh? Then name a guess for me, will you? 50-ish kind of lady, kind of faded, severe-looking?
Why?
I'm just curious.
Doris Cole, a very old friend from the States.
Mind telling me where her room is?
Right next to yours. Why?
Well, I just ran into her as she was coming downstairs. She looked a little, call it worried.
That's ridiculous. She'd have no more reason to search your room than I would.
Sure. Let's forget it. A little while ago, I saw you searching out on the slope. And you know I saw you. Now, what were you looking for? An empty cartridge?
You think I fired that shot at my husband?
Someone did. And there are easier places to go for a stroll than on that slope.
I know what you're thinking. But you're wrong. I just wanted to see if I could find some trace of whoever had done it. A shell from a gun.
Well, that's interesting, to say the least.
I don't like your tone, Mr. Dollar.
I don't blame you, because you just made a boo-boo. Only an automatic ejects a shell. A revolver doesn't. In other words, you knew what kind of gun was used. Uncomfortable, Mrs. Alder?
Why don't you go home?
Like to live dangerously, Mrs. Alder? Slapping the driver of a moving car? Pretty foolish, isn't it?
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
All right, tell me something. How did you know what I was really here for?
My husband. I made him tell me.
Well, congratulations. I can't get him to tell me the time of day. And he knows whose side I'm on. We rode back to the house without exchanging another word, and one thing was obvious. The chic Mrs. Alder had apologized all right, but the anger I'd stirred up could have powered a fair-sized city for a week. When we reached the house, she simply got out, headed for it, as though I were a process server she wanted to get away from. I went to my room, trying not to look like a process server, to figure what my next step would be. I was suddenly very grateful to whoever had chosen my room because of two things. The excellent view of the Alder patio and what was happening on it. Mrs. Alder and Doris Cole were having a discussion, with Mrs. Alder doing all the talking. Even from this distance, I could see the anger on both their faces. Then, after a few minutes, both women went into the house. 5 minutes later, I was still wishing I could have heard the words. Well... Miss Cole, won't you come in?
Well, I only stopped for a moment.
Glad you did.
I just wanted to apologize for my behavior when we ran into each other on the stairs a little while ago.
Oh, nonsense. It was my fault.
No. I meant, well, I was so brusque and, well, I just don't know what I could have been thinking of.
Oh, you were nothing of the kind. Don't worry about it.
You're very nice about it. Very nice. Well, excuse me now, won't you?
Oh, sure thing, Miss Cole. Thanks for taking the trouble.
Yes.
I watched her as she hurried down the hall. An awkward woman who left you with one strong impression, that she had little feel for the social graces. The impression was emphasized about 2 minutes later by a second visitor, one who knew all about the social graces, Constance Alder, all smiles and charm.
I'll bet you thought we ran out of food, Mr. Dollar.
I was kind of wondering.
Blame El Montante.
Does he eat everything in the house?
Oh, not quite. He just refuses to allow dinner to be served. Insists that tonight he's the host, that it's his evening.
Oh, what does that mean?
Dinner in town, the high line matches, and night clubbing afterward. He simply won't be refused. Insists that everyone in the house be his guest. Sound attractive?
Well, it would be pretty hard to say no to an offer like that.
Good. Don't be long. Everyone's dressing like mad. It should be quite an evening.
It was. Montante was acknowledged to be a great matador. He had just as much class outside the arena. He ordered a dinner, and it was gourmet time. He placed our bets at the highlight matches, nothing but winners. And at the nightclub, nothing but champagne. For a group of people living in a house loaded with tension, it was a ball. And a lot of it was because of the matador's quiet, easy manner. He was a man who knew how things should be done and did them. It was pretty tough not to like him. Constance Alder seemed to feel the same way, her eyes always on him. But the matador himself was never once out of line. Never said or did anything that could possibly offend Billy Alder. And for a busy host, he was observant. I found that out while the others were dancing.
Perhaps I can answer the question, Senor Dollar.
I haven't asked one, Senor Montante.
In words, no. But it's not difficult to interpret. You watch Mrs. Alder, then me. Then a question is in your eyes, no?
You're a pretty sharp fella, Senor Matador.
And a gentleman, Senor. I do not pursue other men's wives. The question is answered?
Partly. What happens when you're the pursued?
I see. Senor Dollar, women with money but without great beauty, they try to compensate, each in her own way. Hers is not unusual. Acquisition. The company and attendance of a man who is presentable, admired. I am not unknown in the arena. So for the moment, it is my company. Tomorrow, a better known companion, if one should appear. As simple as that. Y sad, no, señor? And a little embarrassing.
Thanks. And I'm the one who's embarrassed. I thought your eye was on the Alder fortune.
Señor, you know what I receive for a Sunday afternoon in any Latin American country? $10,000. Sometimes more. Your question is answered, senor?
Well, not quite. Where does a fella take bullfight lessons? Like I said, the evening was pleasant, but it was still a job. Watching Doris Cole now, awkwardly dancing with Billy Alder, I kept thinking of her argument with Mrs. Alder, her furtiveness. I felt sure she'd been the one who'd searched my room, and there would never be a better chance to return the compliment. So I developed a sudden killing headache, and over the protests of the others, said goodnight and grabbed a cab for the Alder house in Aguiara. In Miss Cole's room, I did a hurried but thorough search, and came up with two things that proved real interesting. A passport with Doris Cole's picture, but made out to one Dora Jansen, and an unsigned letter, postmarked New York. In a quick scrawl, it said simply that the Caribbean Star would arrive in La Guerra on the 17th.
I'm sorry about your headache, Mr. Dollar, but there is no aspirin in my room.
Johnny Dollar.
Dollar? There's Alder here. There must be something the matter with the house phone. I thought I rang a different room.
Doris Cole's room, Mr. Alder?
Well, yes.
That's what you got.
Now, see here, Dollar, you're not questioning that woman, badgering her.
We were simply discussing two headaches and the value of aspirin. Want to speak to her?
I just wanted to be sure everything was all right. Both of you running out of the nightclub with headaches like that.
Oh, everything's fine. I'd like to speak to you, though.
Sorry, it's late. I have a long day tomorrow.
I'm afraid it's important.
Good night, Dollar.
Are you thinking of arresting me, Mr. Dollar?
I'm not a policeman, Miss Cole.
You act like one. answering my phone, sneaking into my room while I'm gone.
That evens the score, then. You had a quick look through mine earlier in the day.
Mr. Dollar.
Just what were you looking for, Miss Cole? From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Caracas, Venezuela, to the Home Office Worldwide Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Alder matter. Expense account continued. Back in my own room after saying goodnight to a sullen Doris Cole, I didn't feel the slightest qualms about having invaded her room and lying about the reason for it. Why should I? The people in the Alder house didn't seem too concerned with the truth. In fact, the whole case seemed to be a question of lie or say nothing. Consider, Billy Alder had been shot at, indicating he had a good reason to change beneficiaries 5 times in a month. And still, he was the original say-nothing fella. Keep me alive was all I could get out of him. His wife had lied, his daughter had lied, and Doris Cole, an old friend of the family, had just proved to be a walking lie. The passport I'd found in her room had her photograph, all right, but it said she was Dora Jansen. An unsigned letter in the same drawer had stated simply that the Caribbean Star would dock tomorrow. I got into bed, and an odd thought hit me. If the Caribbean Star didn't dock, would the steamship company have joined the Liars Club, too? Expense account item 7, 10 cents, one newspaper, bought on the La Guayra docks early next morning. My Spanish is pretty nothing, but I could read the important thing, that the Caribbean Star was due at noon. With time to kill, I drove into Billy Alder's office in Caracas. He hit the ceiling when I told him about Doris Cole's passport. I was suddenly glad I'd mentioned nothing about the letter.
Dollar, how dare you search the room of a guest in my house? How dare you?
Just returning a courtesy.
What?
Mine was searched thoroughly.
That still isn't any reason for your behavior.
Oh, one-way ethics, Mr. Alder?
I've told you repeatedly, Dollar. There's only one reason I want you here.
I know. Keep you alive. But how? With handcuffs on? Now, suppose I told you to find some oil, then refused to let you dig any holes in the ground. You'd begin to smell a rat, wouldn't you?
What are you talking about?
Just about everything in this, sir.
Look, I have a very busy...
Who is Dora Jansen, Mr. Alder? And why does she call herself Doris Cole?
You're making too much of nothing, Dollar. It isn't a crime to use another name.
That depends on the reason, doesn't it?
Yeah, she's an old friend.
Oh, who isn't?
Dollar, I...
Aren't you tired of that tune? For a man who's afraid for his life, you've got more old friends than anyone I ever knew. Also, I haven't noticed anything particularly friendly between you.
Yeah, she's not a well woman, Dollar. I don't want you bothering.
You don't want me bothering anyone.
Exactly.
Not even the one who fired that shot at you. So I can't help getting an impression that you have a pretty good idea of who it might have been.
I told you I was busy, Dollar.
Yeah, but it's what you haven't told me I keep thinking about.
Dollar.
What?
Did you find anything else in that room beside the passport?
Why, Mr. Alder, what's happened to your sense of ethics? There was still plenty of time before the Caribbean Star would be docking, and Billy Alder's reaction had dictated my next move. The cable office in La Guayra suddenly seemed like a very important place to visit. There were too many silent mouths in Caracas, and I needed one that had something to say. Okay, miss. You can take this now.
Si, senor. How you like this to go?
Don't spare the horses.
Okay?
Cable, rush.
Ah, si. Victor Kelly, World...
Yeah, I know my lousy handwriting. Here. To Victor Kelly, Worldwide Mutual, Hartford, Connecticut, USA.
See?
Want all possible information, Dora Jansen, a.k.a. Doris Cole, U.S. Passport, 19B67943-11, signed Dollar.
And your address for the answer?
I'll pick it up here.
As you wish.
And lady, please...
I know, senor. Don't spare the horses.
It was still early when I reached the waterfront where the Caribbean Star would soon be docking. There wasn't much point in watching the incoming passengers. I didn't even know who I was looking for. So I found a spot at the pier entrance where I could concentrate on those meeting the passengers. Here I made a grudging concession to all movie detectives. Item 7, another 10 cents, another newspaper to hide behind. And you know something? It works fine. Doris Cole, or according to that passport, Dora Jansen, was nervous, excited. And it was no trouble to stay close behind her as she met a passenger, a short, nondescript man in his late 50s. When they jumped into a cab and hurried away from the pier, they were closely followed by a man clutching an unread newspaper. Me. The trip was a short one, about 6 or 7 blocks away. The cab in front pulled up at a cheap hotel on the waterfront. I circled the block once, got rid of my cab, and wandered into the dismal lobby. The fat, sleepy clerk made a concession. He opened one eye.
See, you look for something.
Yeah, that gentleman who just came in, I had an appointment with him. Oh, darn it, I must have left the slip of paper with his name on it in my hotel. I can't find it.
That's too bad.
You know, the gentleman who just went up to room,
Yeah. You want me to say the number now, huh? Don't you think I ever been to a movie?
Oh, no, really, you can save me a lot of embarrassment. You've got it right there on the register.
See?
Mind if I have a look?
I mind.
Look, friend.
When was the last time you got anything for free, friend?
Oh, why didn't you say so? I was trying not to offend you.
Here,
let me see.
You play blackjack, senor, how you call it? 21?
Yeah, why?
Like they say, hit me again.
Oh, you're rubbing it in.
See? You want to do business or no?
Item 9, 10 bucks. Market schmear, schmooze, or just plain graft. He pointed an oversized forefinger at a name on the ledger, lost interest in me, went back to sleep. Arthur Singer, it said. Room 8. I went up the stairway. A few seconds later, I moved as quietly as I could down the grimy second floor hallway, stopped at the door of number 8. At first, I heard nothing. Then after a long minute, the voices began, angrily, as though resuming an old argument.
I don't know.
Then let me handle it.
No, but what about him? Suppose he
what knows. What if he does? You want it all to go for nothing? Now you listen to me. I know what I'm doing.
Five minutes later, I was back in the cable office getting a second message off to Vic Kelly in Hartford. It was a request for anything he could possibly dig up on Arthur Singer. I didn't hope for too much because it would probably turn out to be an alias, but it was an angle I couldn't afford to overlook.
You're not back for answers so soon, senor?
Oh, no, I just want you to get this one off. Same fella.
And same way, no spare the horses?
That's it. And thanks.
It's nada. Oh, senor, I want to ask you something.
Shoot.
Your business partner, did I do something to displease him? He seems so angry.
My who seems so what?
Well, he was so nice at first, but after he read the message...
Wait a minute, hold everything. First of all, I have no business partner.
Oh, then I make terrible mistake.
Oh, just tell me what happened.
Well, this man, he come in less than a minute after you leave. Was very nice.
Yeah.
Said he was your business partner, that he just leave you. You were worried because you forgot whether you say something in the message you just sent. Then you ask him to check it for you.
Uh-huh.
He seemed to know what he was talking.
So you showed it to him. Then?
That is when he got so angry. He just put it down and leave.
What did he look like?
A little less tall than you, and he have gray hair.
Eyeglasses?
Si, eyeglasses.
Gray suit?
Si, senor. Gray suit. You know him?
I'm beginning to wonder if anyone really does.
I am so sorry for my mistake, senor.
Oh, forget it. It wasn't your fault. Just send that second message.
Si, senor.
About the answers. Send them to me at William Alder's house as soon as you get them. Maybe we'll read them together. Billy Alder was my new business partner. Alder, the original close-mouth fella. But it looked like there was nothing wrong with his brain or his eyesight. Then suddenly I didn't mind that he'd read my message to Vic Kelly, because a frightened man usually reacts at the extreme ends of the scale. He'd been at the let's-do-nothing end. Maybe he'd now go the other way. There was one more step I could make on the waterfront, so I made it. My credentials presented at the steamship offices got me a look at the passenger list of the Caribbean Star. The name Arthur Singer wasn't on it. I started down the small waterfront street to where my car was parked. My mind was full of Billy Alder and the pieces of this crazy puzzle, tugging one way, pulling another. Trying to make sense out of it somehow, I used some sort of slide rule where logic could be a solid base. No matter how I twisted it, I knew one thing. It just wouldn't work. I didn't have enough yet to make it work. I was just reaching for the door handle when I saw his reflection in the car window. The man who'd sneaked up behind me, blackjack raised high in the air. The blackjack was just insurance. He was tough enough without it. I finally worked him to the side of the car, managed to half Nelson, and let the car door workers my blackjack. 5 seconds later, an officer came rushing up, and 5 minutes later, I sat in the office of Jefe Velasquez, chief of police.
You feeling all right now, amigo?
Yeah, sure. What did you get out of that blackjack artist?
Just what I expected.
Still won't say who hired him, huh?
You have to understand this kind of fellow, amigo.
I do, huh?
What I mean, he's asesino pequeño, you know?
Cheap hood, monster?
Si. For extra two bolivar, maybe three, he would blackjack his mother. He claims he does not know who hired him, that he is to get his money in a letter.
That one out with spats.
Okay.
I say he's lying.
Of course, but he will stick to the story because he knows he will get the same sentence whether he tells or he does not.
A cheap hood won't usually cover for somebody else.
This kind does, amigo. Otherwise, he would never be hired again.
I'd give a lot for a few minutes alone with him, Jefe.
Sorry, Juanito, but I like my job.
Just wishful thinking.
Not hard to understand.
Well.
You are leaving?
Not getting anywhere sitting here. You sure you haven't got business somewhere else? I got an awfully big yen to talk to that thug. You know, I got a hunch.
Forget it, amigo. It's like I say. If you ask him on a Monday what is the day, he must tell you Tuesday. You could beat him to death, he would still say Tuesday. Is the way they think.
Jefe, a favor.
If I can.
Suppose I don't prefer charges. Would you put a tail on him when he leaves?
Johnny.
Look, I know it's 1,000,000 to 1 against the hood doing a rough-up without the money in hand, but if he hasn't collected you...
Come, amigo, like you say, 1,000,000 to 1.
I know, I'm grabbing at straws, but just in case, Jefe. Come on, huh?
Okay.
Good, thanks.
Hey, where do you go?
Back to the cable office.
Oh?
Yeah. And if a man in Hartford has nothing to say, I've got a permanent seat behind the eight ball.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a puzzle never fits itself together. You've got to snoop, pry, and juggle the pieces. And sometimes people get killed that way. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Tony Barrett. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, this is just, so far, a very solid mystery story. And we've got so much out there, quite a few bits of red herring. And they've only got 15 minutes to sort it out on Friday, so I'll be eager to find out how they did it. All right, well, on to listener comments and feedback. William emails to say, regarding the open town matter, it sounds like it was based on an earlier Johnny Dollar story, but I can't figure it out. Well, thanks so much, and I should have mentioned this. I've become used to most of these programs not being based on previous shows in the second half of the Johnny Dollar serials, but this one was based on an episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Dan Frank Matter, original air date May 4th, 1954, and that was episode 0841, which would have been probably more than a year and a half ago. And Daniel comments, actually regarding episode 1173, The Sea Legs Matter, Parts 1 and 2 says, I know the open town matter is over, and the program has moved on to the Sea Legs matter. However, I just wanted to say that the open town matter is the first show I ever heard. Ever since then, I've been trying to find as much as I can on Johnny Dollar. Needless to say, this app was an incredible find. Amazing job, and I can't wait for the Sea Legs Part 3 and 4. Well, I hope you enjoyed the shows. And if you're curious about learning more about Johnny Dollar, John C. Abbott has written the definitive book on Johnny Dollar. We'll have it as one of the thank you gifts available in our listener support campaign. But you can get it all the time through Amazon, and you just put search for Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and John C. Abbott, and it'll come out. And they've got it in three volumes, and it really has a ton of information on Johnny and a lot of details about his cases. Then we have a comment from Josh. Great. I've had the Dragnet podcast, and I love Dragnet, and now I enjoy Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Thanks, Adam. Josh from Hickory, North Carolina. Thank you so much, Josh. All right, and one little brief public service notice, I guess. When you have technical issues with the show, be sure to either email me or send a note on Facebook if it's just like an episode's missing. I've had a few people post reviews on sites like iTunes, and that doesn't necessarily work the best because then it's there permanently. Particularly if you don't change it after it's fixed, you know, 3 or 4 years later, people see a review that episode, you know, 1234 or whatever, it wasn't showing up. So the best way, if you're having a technical issue with a website, show not showing up, is just to go ahead and email me at box13@greatdetectives.net. All right, well, that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with Nick Carter, and then join us on Friday as we wrap up this fascinating case of the Alder matter. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.